Let's go to the third race. This is also a claiming race. This one's a mile and an eighth. So $16,000 horses. Incidentally, the rail bias that we were talking about, the anti-rail bias, does not exist at two turns. So make that clear again. The one-turn races are where it exists. So I'm sure that's not why he was scratched in here. At least I hope not. Ron Ellis is too good a trainer to do that. Keenobrin. Just looking at him now, he's a scratch, so he's not a contender, right? Look at him now for a moment. Look at his last two races and decide whether or not he is a contender in this race. He doesn't fit any of the guidelines, does he? We talked about some guidelines here in terms of where he has to be at the stretch call or earlier in the race. He doesn't fit any of them. Here's a horse that's just gone bad in terms of form. He just seems to be getting worse every time he runs. Don't take this kind of horse and say, because, and since I said because now, I got to find a line on him that would justify that. Don't overlook that last race, and especially don't overlook the succession of races, the last two. It just turns out that that's a bad claim. He claims him for 16, hoping he'd run well at 20 and 25, and what did he got? He got a horse that can't probably run at 16. All right, what about Burgundy Bonus in here? All right, basic question is, can he win at 16? Okay. He's already done it. If he won at 12.5 also, he can win at 16. The difference between those two levels is very small. So he's a contender, isn't he? He's been off a little while. What's his workout line? Because he's been off over a month, and that's a critical distinction here between a month and less than a month. Okay, he's got a good workout pattern, right? Including a workout at two workouts at 5 furlong. So you would accept this horse, but it's a negative. There is a serious negative, and that's the fact that he has been off over a month. It is a negative, but you can't get around that one. Some trainers do this, most do not. The fact that he was claimed for 16 and set out, they had to sit him out for over the month before they were able to get him back to a race. That's generally not what you want to see, because you as an owner would not want that. You'd want to run right back. So that's a little bit of a negative here, too.
Between the 24th and the 2nd, like 8 or 9 days there, that's longer than the pattern that they had started to establish in
other people. Well, no, because the clocker could have missed one. Remember I said up to about 9, or in fact, I think I said 9 or 10 days. It's no big thing. When they have a chance to miss 2 or 3 workouts, you get a little concerned about. That one wouldn't worry me. What about Thresh It Out? Okay, wins at 10. At 12.5, he almost wins. At 20, he's beaten off, right? Okay. But if he can win at 12.5 or almost win at 12.5, what do you think at 16? Sure, he's got a chance. Now his last race, is he up close at any call? And he is. He's up close at the stretch call. Okay. What about running? What about the line on this horse? What would you choose? We'll go back up to Burgundy Bonus here in a moment. What line would you choose on Thresh It Out? Okay. And again, this is an exercise you should do a couple of times a week anyway, this pro and con thing. Write it down. If you decide that you want to use the second race back or the third race back, write your reasons down. And then see how they stand up after these races are run. The reason for choosing a race other than the last race, what could they be? Well, distance, but then you're talking 16th of a mile. Okay. Distance could be one, right? Okay. But the other one's an 8.5, so I mean, it falls in the middle. It's still within the same distance structure. It's not a one-turn mile. He's not hung way outside. Class? It's only one class above where he is today. One class won't cut it. But I mean, that's one of the reasons. You can put down distance, and you can put down class. Those are two reasons, right? What other reasons might you put down for going past that line? Trouble? There isn't any. He's where he normally is at the first call. And that's out of the screen when you're watching television. He makes a nice internal move of seven lengths, although he doesn't pass the soul, so he must have just been way back there by himself. There's no reason to go past this last line, but write the reasons down. Anytime you consider doing it, write the reasons down, and then check them out after the fact and see how well they stand up. Now, the last race on this horse is pretty indicative. You don't want to go back and choose a race at the lower level down at 12.5 because you have to overlook two races at 20, which is virtually 16. And by using this last line on this horse, you're attending to the current form requirements. This basically is where he is right now. There's a negative on him also. Here's a horse that closes against everybody, right? Look what happened last time. At the eighth pole, he had moved within three lengths, and what did they do? They drew away from him. At a shorter distance, when you would think he'd come running. Don't overlook that last race. It's the race you want. Yeah, the pace was slow. He had plenty of time. I mean, it's not quite, he wasn't rushed by any means. The fact that they drew away from him in the last eighth would really bother me about this horse because no one's ever done that. Since he's been in form at a level that he wants to run at 20, once he dropped out of the higher classes, one time he lost three quarters, one time he lost a half, and then all of a sudden he gained in every race until the last race, and then they drew away from him a little bit after he made his move. So I wouldn't overlook that race. Let's go back up to Burgundy Bonus. Last race on Burgundy Bonus. Yeah. There's some excuse. Go ahead. Well, this layoff is not, this is not a layoff. This is a freshener here. 34 days or so. He had declined, okay, but he hasn't had enough time to really recover from that. Well, no, because it's, what, 35 days ago? Is that what we said? Just a little over a month. All right. The last race, he was wide throughout. Okay, that is an excuse. Wide throughout means wide around the first turn, which is the worst place to be wide. Then, wide down the backstretch, and guess what happens then when he enters the second? I'm swearing by them. When a horse has done that I've played, I'm swearing at them by them, because when I go the first, it's frustrating to watch them fanned wide on the first turn, and then they go down the backstretch and they're still wide, and as they begin to approach the next turn, you know that they haven't been able to tuck in anywhere, so they're going to do it again, right? Then they do it again on the second turn. There's just no way to do that. This is a legitimate excuse on this horse, all right? It also, whatever happened out of this race is the reason that this horse hasn't been back in 35 days. Okay, that's why they felt they couldn't bring it back, yes. We're going to talk about two things. We're talking about a freshening period and a layoff. A layoff is when they're taken. I consider a layoff to be when a horse has been taken out of training, kind of wound down and given some time off. A freshening, on the other hand, the horse is still kept in light training. Now, a freshening can go up to a couple of months. Anything beyond that, they've had a chance to kind of wind out of it and relax. And that's about where I cut it off. All right. Now, you may hear other points of view. Okay. Now, in his case, 35 days, maybe there was a race he was trying to get in a week and a half ago. Couldn't get in. Maybe it didn't fill. That's why he's at 35 instead of 28. So you can't be too tough on him because his workout line is here. So the last race, let's just deal with the pace line. The last race, he's got some excuses in, right? The race before that was 12 days before that, and the horse is wide both turns again. He was having some bad, well, how did he get wide throughout from the three hole in his last one? But anyway, the previous race is good. The race before that, you don't want to take because it's a mile and a quarter and nobody can run that here. The race before that was on a sloppy track. And in terms of the quality of the race, the second race back is actually the best race in the current form cycle. So if you make him a contender, and he seems to be, the second race back would be the right race to rein him on. Anybody have any problems with that? What about Benavides? He's a contender, isn't he? All right. What race will he use? not the last race? See, before you just jump and go to the third race back is attractive. Okay? But the reason you just chose it is because. That's exactly why you chose it. It's because I like the looks of that race. Well, because causes a lot of losing tickets. Deal with the last race first. It's the same race that it's the same race Thresh It Out comes out of. The race before that was 14 days earlier. There's no reason to, the last race wasn't off of a layoff. It wasn't off of a freshening period. It was right behind the previous race. If you look at the horse, he dropped from 32 to 20 and actually didn't run a step better at 20 than he did at 32. He's going the wrong way. I didn't say he was a contender. I let you do that. That's fine, but I let you guys do that. I'm going to answer the question in a minute. The answer to the question is, which way is this horse going now? Okay, he meets the contender selection guidelines, doesn't he? Yeah, he was up close the first two calls last time. He meets those guidelines. Now you have to take it a step further and say, is this horse a contender to win the race? If he uses his last race, he's in the race with Thresh Out. Thresh Out runs by him. He actually regressed, if anything, because if he could get within 7 lengths of 32s and could only get 6 lengths within 20s, that wasn't an improvement. And now he drops to 16, so he makes another drop. Now, if you make him a contender, he won't come up for you anyway. They're in a method that I know that would bring this horse to the top. Okay, but I consider this horse a non-contender. But if you're going to make him a contender, because he wins races, he's 5-for-17, but I'll clue you into something else. That if you become familiar with who's training horses, not making your bets based on that. This horse was trained by a man by the name of Lonnie Arterburn, who trains up north. And when Lonnie Arterburn had him, he was like 5-for-8, something like on that range. He was really a winning horse. He was 5-for-8. All right, now he's been in 2 other barns that I know of, but the last guy that got a hold of him is this David Harper, the guy that's got Wonder Plum. Consider what's happened to Wonder Plum since David Harper got him. Think about it. Now he's claimed this one. And this horse is going like this, right? Now he's 5-for-17 where he was once 5-for-8 when he was handled by a good conditioner. Don't ever tell me the trainers aren't important. They are. Within a narrow range, they're all bettable. But then the ones outside the bottom side of that range, they're not bettable. Buckland's Halo, is he a contender here or not? Sure. His last race, is that the right one to use? Why not? He won at 20, dropped to 16 off the win, which is a negative, except with this guy, he happened to run into a horse he couldn't handle that day. But nevertheless, his last race is at this level, at this distance, at a different racetrack, but that's the right race to use here. That's the way he'll run. Now, his running style, we haven't mentioned running style in this one because I don't think it's been an issue at this point. Burgundy Bonus may be a little bit of an issue if he's sent for the lead, and we'll know that, and he won't be. But Buckland's Halo is kind of a presser at his best. So I wouldn't be too worried about that, because he can press these horses. It's not the optimal running style, because that's a closer's race, but it is acceptable. Now, Keep Me in Stitches. This wouldn't even keep you in pocket change. Look at this horse. Now, I haven't made up my mind about this trainer. So far, he's not very bettable. Look at the work he's done with this horse after claiming him on February 17th. Look at the 3 races he's had with this horse. And then look at the form just preceding the claim. Now, does that give you an indication that some guys can train very well and some guys can't seem to handle a horse? Okay. Now, in pace line selections, when you look at these horses and decide to go way back down into what Pizzola calls the way back machine, all right, look at this horse, for example, and look at Ben of Ice. Ben of Ice having once been handled by Lonnie Arterburn, who's really a good trainer. This one who was handled by, I think, Donald Warren, who's a good trainer also. The temptation sometimes is when the horse gets kind of good, you look at it and say, well, I'll go back down and use the race on January 6th on this horse, right? Just remember that somebody that was doing the training on that period is not the somebody that's doing the training today. So the horse isn't being prepared the way it was, in a different style. It could be a positive, could be a negative. But don't go reaching back into what constitutes an entirely different form cycle and might constitute an entirely different racehorse. And in the case of Ben of Ice, it seems to. But the form on keeping in stitches is dismal. It doesn't meet any of the contender guidelines at all. So the horse is a throw-out. If you kept it in deciding you were going to go for the boxcar here, the long shot, right? Don't be tempted to go back and take it off to somebody else's training. Cannon Man. Okay, this horse is against the style of the racetrack. Okay, it's definitely against the style of this racetrack. But is it a contender at 16 or not? Okay, would there be any other reason to use other than the last line? Okay. Now, is this a positive or a negative on this horse? It is a negative, isn't it? Here's a horse that just won powerfully for $16,000, and I guarantee that the figure was very good. The figure was well in excess of what a $16,000 race is normally won in. The horse wins by 3.5, and it wins convincingly against a horse that was very good. Buckland's Halo was very good. And yet this horse is right back in again for 16. That doesn't mean this horse, if the circumstances were right, this horse could still win. It's just that the horse will not, that's too positive, the horse will probably not run the race it ran last time in terms of quality, or it wouldn't be in for 16. So it's a little bit of a negative here when they repeat, when they win strongly and then they're back at that same level, it's a negative. Why would you go back? The last race is too good to... What race would you use? Then why even put him in here? Well, actually, the second race is okay, too. I do, too. I'm not going to do that. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'll tell you why. That's a common philosophy, all right, that here's a horse that's never won above 16, why would he be in for 20? And the point is that some of these horses, when they're improving, can improve all the way to the max before they come back down. And you see it all the time with good improving horses. And Inquisitorial, the one I mentioned earlier, this is a horse that was running for 10 and 12.5 most of its career. And it was running at 12.5 at Turf Paradise before coming to Santa Anita, ran halfway decent for 16, did not win, was claimed, double jumped to 25, won powerfully, was moved into an allowance race, ran well, and then in the second try in an allowance race, it ran even better than it ever had before. Now, if you look, with that philosophy, if you look at him, you see he's a $10,000 horse at 12.5. He's never beaten better than that, right? And yet he wins at 9-1 with a figure that fit in a classified allowance. You can't do, when they get good, they do some remarkable things. Now, Cannon Man, chances are, will not. And I said, that's why I qualified it, Bill. I said, well, probably not. Okay. But if you go beyond his last race, the last race is always usable in terms of his figure. But what will happen is he's still contrary to the race to this racetrack. Okay. Pardon? Well, I would say so, because we already have a negative, and that's the fact they didn't raise him in class, right? The other negative, which is even more major, is the fact that not a single horse that's been in the lead at the first or second call, in how many races did we have, 14, 15? Two-turn races, not a single horse has won. Well, there's other speed in here. We haven't finished that. Yes.
Concept, and like you said, use the horse only as a set the pace for
him. Okay.
Take him out of win consideration.
Yeah, that's what I would do. You have to leave him in. We made him a contender. You have to leave him in, but you don't have to bet on him. That's what I'm saying. He's not a good bet here. Now, you got to remember also that this is the... What's the first race? First race is 1 3/16, right? If some horse gets on the lead in the first race and goes wire to wire, that changes the scenario a little bit, doesn't it? It's still like 1 for 15, but today it's 1 for 1. So now you got to look at it with a little different eye. and decide. If this race goes back to the 1 for 15 or so on, then the first race will be one of the aberrant races you have to deal with. If, on the other hand, you get two in a row that are like this, you can kind of throw away the profile that you've made up to this point, and you have to adapt to that, because it changes just that fast. But he's a good piece of the pace here, but there's also other speed in here, which is going to hurt him, I think. Well, yeah, there is, but right now, probably four of the 14 races that we've looked at have had a horse that seemed to have superior speed, and not a one of them has made it. And until one of them does, I would even if I looked at it and said this is the horse that ought to have the lead, it ought to be a fairly easy lead, I've still watched him stop so far. The minute one doesn't stop, I'll go back to that. Now, suppose it's 1 for 15 now, and some horse won on an easy lead. Now I would start considering the fact that if a horse can get an easy lead in here, no one's going to challenge a horse, it becomes a viable possibility now. But until one of them actually does that, and there have been other races on this so far at this track that have shown horses that should be in front, easily in front, in these two-term races, and not a one of them has made it yet. Okay. But you have to react to it when it does happen. And the minute it happens, then it becomes, because the normal circumstances are that if you have a closer's bias, you'll still have some races that were won on the lead. No matter how strong the closer's bias, you will have some that are won on the lead, and those will generally be just what you said. And when you have that situation where you have a single front runner that is dominant through the first couple of fractions and should not be challenged at all, then you bet it. Even in the face of a closer's bias. But this closer's bias right now is 0 for 14. It's 100% against. And until it actually changes a little bit, you don't want to be going to the other side saying, you know, I'm looking at it this way, and it's a lone front runner, because I've already done that at this meeting. And so ask me how I know the right answer to this. I've thrown away the tickets every time. At the first of the meeting, I just assumed that would be the case, because there were a couple of plays right early in the meeting with horses that were on the lead by themselves, I thought. And even after that, I couldn't cash a ticket. So. Yes?
How often the bias changes almost overnight?
Fairly frequent. The bias will change overnight. Several times in the meeting. I mean, this is what, a 80-day meeting, is it? Yeah, track maintenance will have a bearing on it. See, Wednesdays, at most of these tracks around here, on Wednesdays, tracks will be a little more sustained than they are on Sunday. Because as racing occurs throughout the week, the track gets packed down a little bit more. By Sunday, the speed is holding better than it was earlier in the meeting. But you will find bias changes just overnight. I mean, on a Thursday night, or Thursday afternoon, horses will be going wire to wire, and on Friday, the first three races, horses come from out of the cloud. It's generally maintenance. Somebody's complained that the track is playing too glib, and they cut the track a little bit. Okay. Now, they'll turn it on Monday or Tuesday, and so you could get a change on Wednesday. But so far, I mean, this is the second week. It's still a light meeting. I mean, we're only finishing 2 weeks today. Tomorrow we'll finish 2 weeks. So far, there's been no exceptions to the two-turn races. None. Closest to it was that maiden race yesterday in which that horse was contending for the lead all the way. The only one. So right now, I would tend to even downgrade and I got to tell you, one of my favorite plays is the early pace horse with no competition. I just love that play. But right now, I'm going to have to put it in the back seat for a little while. So one proves it can do it. Once one proves it can do it, then I know it can be done here. But right now, I'm not sure it can be done. Probably can. But let's look at the reason the Cannon Man's not going to be the lone front runner in this race, and that's Michael Berry. Look at this next horse. Okay. Now, for me, Michael Berry is not a contender in here. Because I can't envision a scenario in which Michael Berry would be the winner of this race. Because of Cannon Man, for one. Because of his last race and the race before, they came home pretty slow from 45-3, which is reasonably slow to start with. They came home in 118-1, so he wasn't coming home very fast. And a horse called Range Rider went by him at 6.5, right? His next start, he goes 21-4, 45, but he had already bailed out around the turn. When they were in the turn, he was already falling back. So he was kind of stopping. And he gets beat 15 lengths. Now he's in here trying to go around the ground against another good frontrunner, Cannon Man. So I can't envision Michael Berry winning the race necessarily. I mean, all things happen, but I can't really make a strong case for Michael Berry. But because of Michael Berry, I can make the case against Cannon Man on this biased racetrack. See what I'm getting at? So you leave Michael Berry in terms of your pace analysis, but you don't leave him in terms of contender because he doesn't meet any of the guidelines. Any problem? Can everybody get to that all right? Well, both have some negatives. Michael Berry having more. Right. Now, I got to tell you one other thing, that this Julio Canani, the trainer of Michael Berry, anybody that doesn't know him has had their head in the sand. Very good trainer, excellent trainer. He's done this several times. He's taken a horse that he just recently claimed, Pilar was one, and routed them right away. And after the route, he put him back into sprints, and the route did him a lot of good. Now, Pilar did him good for one race, and then he broke down in his next race. But Pilar was a great example of this positive drop. He wins for 32 powerfully. His next start, he's in for 16, and the favorite. I mean, that's horrible. And he was the favorite, and he broke down. He was banned off the track. That was one of the, at the seminar, that was one of the days that we said, do not, under any circumstances, bet this horse. Those are easy calls, except people at the racetrack are still pounding it down to 4 to 5 and even money. Jungle Jacqueline. Michael Berry? That was as a two-year-old. I wouldn't use that race at all. I'd just use one of his last two races. You know, just make the sprinter route adjustment. You're not going to bet him anyway. You just want him in long enough to get him to the second call and find out what he does to Cannon Man. You're not going to bet this horse. So don't be too dependent on the computer readout here. Because you don't care what his last fraction is in here. What you care about is what he can do to Cannon Man in the race, right? Which means he only has to carry it to about the three-quarter mile mark, even to the half mile. If he carries it beyond the first call, Cannon Man's going to be a little bit used. Jungle Jacqueline. Where does this horse belong? Yeah, 16 or 20, right? Okay. His last race, it's a little time off now, from March 11th, and he dropped back down to where they claim him. Should the horse drop? Sure, he should drop, huh? Where should he drop to? 20, 25. 20 probably, because that seems to be his proven level, isn't it? What has he done earlier than that? He went all the way down to 10. He was claimed at 16, wins at 20. At 25, he wins a sprint as a three-year-old, so that doesn't count. And remembering that three-year-old prices are highly inflated. So a horse that wins at 25 at Del Mar as a three-year-old will probably be running for 10 or 12.5 at Santa Anita as an older horse. Keep that in mind. So when you look at that, he didn't really win for 25. He happened to beat some three-year-olds at 25. Now look at his last race. He's got a trouble line here. He checked at the 7.5, right? Where is that in this race? It's on that first turn, isn't it? So chances are somebody came over and swallowed him a little bit. Now, I happen to know a story about this horse I'll share with you in a moment. But that has no bearing on this. His last race, he had some problem on the first turn. That's usually enough to discourage a horse a lot. Is his workout pattern legitimate here? It is, right? Which race would you use if you chose him? Sure. No reason to go beyond that one. The key here is whether you make him a contender. Then the pace line selection is actually easy. It's his second race back. Now, I happen to know something on this horse. I had a very large exacta box with Rakish and Jungle Jacqueline this day. Rakish paid $52. And I found out after the race that Jungle Jacqueline threw two shoes into the first turn and cut himself pretty good. No, he ran ninth. So I got a $52 winner in the last, I think, or 9 of 11. But this was a major hurt for me. This would have made my whole year because they just stood out on the figures. But anyway, Jungle Jacqueline had legitimate excuses. But in the line, it says checked 7.5, and that's on the first turn, and that's serious trouble. So that's an excuse enough.
How do you feel about the four-year-old?
Well, the first half of the year, it doesn't bother me. In January, it does. January and even February. That's a good point. How do I feel about four-year-olds versus older? One thing we should all understand is that three-year-olds only, even running in November and December, is an inferior race to three-year-olds and up by a couple of lengths. Everybody follow that? If you have a race for three-year-olds and up, that's open to older horses, right? Those are tough horses. Three-year-olds restricted is a much weaker race. So if a three-year-old wins the three-year-old and up race, it's better than the three-year-old that wins the three-year-old only race. Now, when I say that, that's mostly better, because the other horse might have really been good and just happened to be so much better. But most of the time, that's the way. So now comes January 1, right? In December, you see a lot of class drops of some of these three-year-olds that look like suspicious drops. Horse runs, for example, it wins at 25. Next time he's in for 20. In December, that's an acceptable proposition. The reason for that is that the trainers all know that on January 1, those three-year-olds now have to face their elders.